Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the show. You know what time it is. 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Thursday night. This is Long Shots Radio, Prime Time Edition, with your host, Donnie Wrightside. Guy, Sports Talk Radio, this is what we're about. Gambling tips, the big wagers, the biggest games. Do you want to be on the right side? Listening to the radio show, Long Shots Radio, Prime Time Edition, with your host, Donnie Wrightside, recapping what happens during the week and also what's going to happen along with future impact and upcoming matchups. Gambling tips is what we're all about, what we look for, why is the line moving, public versus Vegas. This is the show where it all goes down exclusively on TrendBetting.com. A sensational summer ahead of full baseball action, NBA playoffs in full swing, NHL playoffs in full swing. What a great time to be in the industry, folks. Sit back, grab a chair, grab the best cigar you have. Listen up. It's Long Shots Radio, Primetime Edition, with your host, Donnie Wrightside. You know what time it is. Long Shots Radio, Primetime Edition, Baseball, Major League Baseball Edition, with your host, Donnie Wrightside. Folks, welcome to the show. It's been a fantastic baseball season so far. We have an action-packed show. It's going to run right around 45 minutes. Got a little bit extra time that we can settle in and talk a little bases tonight. Once again, folks, welcome Long Shots Radio, Primetime Major League Baseball Edition, with your host, Donnie Wrightside. Guys, Sports Talk Radio, that's what we do. That's what's the most fun here. You know me, see me online, Facebook, Twitter, NCAA, NFL, Major League Baseball, college basketball. It's all right there. It's what I love to do. It's what I love to talk about. On the show, as you know, last week we did say we were going to put on a second show that will be Mondays during the afternoon. That is still on target for this Monday. Did speak with Lucky Lance Williams, and we are definitely a go. It's going to be a good time adding a second show to the landscape. Hopefully we can make this a daily occurrence sometime down the line. I know I've been saying that for quite a few months now, but it is going to take place. But right now we're just rolling with the punches, building our bankrolls one day at a time, and having a lot of fun doing it, folks. I mean, this baseball season is my favorite. Love football season, love the gamble on college basketball, but every single day between, you know, 8 to 12 games or whatever it would be, during any given time during the season that we're going to have, even as up obviously 15 games, there's over 30 Major League Baseball teams. So on Saturdays and Sundays, it's really, really flowing there. But it's all day long. It's action. It's a lot of mismatches, as you know, that we like to pick on. But baseball season, I can't say it enough, is my favorite time of the year. It's also my best sport technically, gambling-wise. So we do like to build that bankroll up over the summer and head right on into pro and college football season starting out in late August and early September. As I said, down the line on the radio show, we do want to expand it to eventually taking phone calls and make it a more interactive show. But right now, we're just getting our feet wet here in this whole industry, doing it online with podcasts, and I've had a lot of fun doing it. Back when Jamie Huebler was hosting the show with Long Shots, about a year and a half, 2 years ago, just getting the feet wet there, going, you know, maybe 5 and 10 minute segments there, but it's been great. We've morphed it into a 30 minute show now, obviously a 45 minute show on Thursday nights, and also adding that extra show on Monday. So we'll definitely keep you abreast on what's going to happen and what time that's going to be locked in at, but it's going to be a lot of fun. We'll be able to update a lot more stuff that happened over the weekend and getting you ready for the night games. Because right now, as I'm talking to you, it's 8:05 Eastern Standard Time. Have the ticket on, watching Johnny Cueto battle Timmy Lincecum with the Giants and the Reds here. Just taking a quick view of that. And I do see that Timmy's up 2-0 on the Reds at this point, which is a little bit of a shocker. But, you know, we didn't like this game enough to cap it. I didn't see that big of an advantage because Tim has been pitching very well. Obviously, you know, Johnny Cueto can throw that, you know, 6-7 inning shutout, which obviously isn't going to be the case tonight. But that game we had as a coin flip, and I certainly wasn't going to lay Johnny Cueto minus 165 on this game. Just didn't see enough value. And, you know, we've really been targeting the first five of these ball games lately and coming up big with those wins. Over the last 12 days, folks, if you've been following me, friends, clients, whatever, 9 winning days, 3 losing days over the last 12. So it's been really, really a lot of fun. We're picking our shots here and really zeroing in on the numbers that matter the most. And it's certainly really been paying off and has been a lot of fun. If you were with us earlier today, we put out the Philadelphia Phillies first half, which means the first 5 innings, run line getting a half of a run. It won easily at, I believe it was 3-0 at the 3-0 after 5, Ryan Howard hit a home run in the bottom of the 5th, which obviously didn't matter. We already had it closed out since we were the home team. It was Vance Worley on the mound versus Aaron Harang. Aaron Harang has been absolutely sensational at home. Once we saw Andrew McCutchen was not in the lineup for Pittsburgh, an already light-hitting lineup was he even hitting lighter, if that makes sense there. And it was very easy as he peeled right through. Got in a little bit of trouble in the first inning, giving up 2 hits, but did get out of that. And the Phillies pressed right away and got 2 in the bottom of the first, and we were off and running on another winning day. 1-0 today. It was only a 1-star action play. We've only had 2 5-star premium plays this year, but they're 2-0 on those plays. So it's not something that you're going to want to do every day. When the numbers line up and match correctly there, we're going to fire away and make sure we double down on those, obviously with a 5-unit play. If you have followed me as well, you know the 5-unit plays are the maximum premium plays. And again, they're not going to be every day. It depends on how it all lines up during baseball season. We could have as many as 7 premium plays in 1 week. We could have as many as maybe 1 premium play. As you know, we've been in the, Thursday? Yeah, a little bit over a week, week and a half there. A little bit more than that. I'm sorry. We started kicking off on May the 1st with baseball season. We've only had 2 5-star premium plays so far. And again, they are 2-0, but we are also above average with the 1-star all action plays. They're good plays. We don't bet them as much, just like today. And we're all about risk only. What I mean by that is we never bet to win the amount. Today's game was minus 135, which is not bad juice. Anything below 150 in baseball is pretty much par for the course, and you're not going to see too many times that we're going to jump on underdogs. It's really not our forte. Early in the season, we dabbled in it because when the numbers aren't really as strong and there's not many starts for the pitchers that we're looking at or hitters and everybody's really factored in, we did take a few more dogs earlier in May than we have at this point, but numbers are starting to settle and you can get a pretty good read on what teams are doing. Bullpens have fallen into place, but over the first 2 weeks, again, not very many underdog plays. We won't be on very many underdog plays throughout the summer because it's just not our forte. We like to pick on some mismatches. Now, today, if you take a look, obviously Pittsburgh is a mismatch over the Phillies, but when you flipped it down and really took a look at the game, Aaron Harang was the better pitcher than Vance Worley. Vance Worley used to be in the Phillies organization, so a lot of those players have seen him before, know what his stuff is about. Case in point, Ryan Howard goes deep today. I mean, the guy can't hit his way out of a paper bag, but yet he's going to have a couple hits off of Vance Worley because they do know him pretty well. But Aaron Harang, again, just a yeoman's work effort, fantastic today. I did see somebody tweeted out, which I retweeted, Aaron Harang something about like 30 innings and only giving up 2 earned runs at Citizens Bank Ballpark this summer. That was too good to pass up, especially on getaway day. The Phillies put out a decent lineup technically for them. They're not a really good ball club, but they did put out a decent lineup, and we fired away on that over the first 5. It was never really in doubt. It's always a nice way to go. Taking a look at the overall card today, there wasn't really a lot there, and that's where I want to go over a couple quick instances with you before we get into the crux of the show. There were 4 games that we had written down today. One was the Philadelphia Phillies. The second one was the Minnesota Twins, the New York Yankees, and the St. Louis Cardinals. Now, the St. Louis Cardinals did have a nice comeback win on a 2-run shot by Carpenter in the 8th to give them a 2-1 win today, so that would have won. But Minnesota, looking at that game, if yesterday we got embarrassed on the diamond. I mean, hey, when we win, we tell you. When we lose, we tell you as well. We had the Detroit Tigers' first 5 innings yesterday and backed Lobstein on the mound. He was absolutely atrocious, giving up 6 runs over the first 5 innings. really that one bad inning. Gave up a solo home run to Torrey Hunter in the first, but then gave up five runs in the second. So that was pretty much all she wrote at that point. It was really, really not. I mean, I like to fight on and have a good chance. I mean, we were wiped out and pine boxed relatively quickly last night on that, on our only play of the game with the Detroit Tigers. But taking a look at that is how you can just miss one game. Last night, you know, they get boat raced. Today, they boat raced the Twins 13-1. Now, taking a look at that game today, which is I had Minnesota circled there, the line didn't make any sense. Now, you know from talking to me or, you know, my values and what I believe in baseball and in sports gambling overall, I don't believe in steam at all. I don't care where the line is moving. I don't care if the line, you know, at 12 o'clock is 150. Now, again, barring injury or change of pitchers, I mean, that's a little bit different. But if the game is at 150 at 1 o'clock and closes at 131, I don't really care if I took the 150 because it's a number I hammered out. It's a number that, you know, the game was at or the game opened up at. So take it as a fair line. Don't care where the steam ends up. I know a lot of people who say, you know, I'm going to buy off this game. I don't know why that steam is moving. I don't know what's going on there. Steam is 50-50 at best. You win some of those and you lose some of those. It's really not the way you're going to want to go about your business in the sports gambling industry. That's something that you really have to take notice of there. Steam, yes, sounds great. You got a better number. It closed. Boy, you really stole, you know, 20 cents on the dollar before the line moved. But it really doesn't matter. And as you see this baseball season, you'll see lines getting chased with steam and, you know, hey, great, fantastic win. Boy, I chased that steam. It was really great. Or vice versa. You know, oh, I chased that steam. I don't know what that late steam was. Maybe it was a pump fake, as you see some people like to call it, which is ridiculous as well. But again, don't worry about the steam where that number is. Now, getting back to the Minnesota Twins, that line opened up today in a fairly balanced pitching matchup. Looking at that, the Twins appeared to have a better pitcher on the mound starting in this game. And the Twins are smoking hot at the plate, and they already wiped out Detroit the day before. That line opens up at minus 170 for Detroit. Scratch your head. That line is there for a reason. That line didn't get steamed from, let's say, you know, 120 up to 170 at game time. That line opened up at 170, bounced between, you know, 172, 168, whatever it closed at. I'm not actually sure since we weren't on that game. But that's one of those that really made you scratch your head and say, you know, I don't understand this line at 170. So looking at the play, Pelfrey, who was the pitcher on the mound, was actually, again, a better option than who was on the mound for Detroit. Let me just do a quick recap of that game because I want to go over that and just see exactly what was taking place. Now, looking at the game on itself, as I said again, it looked like the Twins are going to be the better team, hotter team. Detroit's bats, you know, stuttering there. They had a solid lineup that they put in, but it was Sanchez versus Pelfrey. Pelfrey was unbeaten coming in this game, dominating, and he got shelled. Miguel Cabrera wakes up and drops two bombs today, which I wish he would have did it the day before. But in that industry, when we like to say, you know, what is Vegas on? Who are the sharps on? That line opened up as an eye-opener, which means, A, if it's too good to be true, it probably is. So I know a lot of people on the Twins today, and they got shelled. But that line was there for a reason, and certainly a 13-1 final said and done exactly what was happening there. Now, again, number two, looking at a game, we had the New York Yankees with a question mark today. Looking at that line, it opened up in the morning somewhere around minus 105, minus 110. Now, looking at that game on itself, Rodgers, you know, Esmeel, I apologize for that there. Let me get this up here. Give me one second. Let's just say for the Rays today, Erasmus Ramirez. Guy hasn't won a start, as you see me tweet, since 1926 today. It's really what it felt like. It's 14 or 15 starts. I know it's high in the double digits. The guy hasn't won. Looking at the New York Yankees putting out a really good lineup, why is that line opening up at minus 105? Makes zero sense. So we put the question mark next to it. We're going to watch that game as it went overall during the day. Case in point, Yankees, major advantage, rolling. You know, Tampa not having a very good season. A clown tomato can on the mound. Look at it right now, folks. It's the bottom of the third inning. The Rays are up 4-0. It's another one of those games when you take a look at it and say on the opening line, that line is too good to be true. I know a lot of people, a lot of respected people have fired on the New York Yankees today. I stayed away from it, and you saw me tweet it out earlier. The line doesn't make sense. Why would a guy on the mound who can't win to save his life in, you know, there's no home field advantage playing in Tampa. Matter of fact, there's probably more Yankee fans at the game today than there was Tampa Bay Rays fans at the game. So, I mean, everything added up there to a line that should have read, you know, or opened up, I should say, at around minus 125 to minus 135 Yankees when it opens up right around a pick'em. And again, I don't even care where the steam went. Closing on that Yankee number, let me get that exact number where the Yankees closed out today, because I think it actually went up to somewhere around in that 125 range for the New York Yankees. Yep, looks like it closed Yankees minus 132. Another case in point for you tonight. That line opens up right around a pick of minus 105, minus 110, give or take either way with the Yankees or Tampa Bay. Closes at 132. Who gives a damn where that steam closed at? Look where that steam got you tonight, you know. 70, 80, 85% of the people in the New York Yankees tonight. Now, again, I have to preface that by saying the game's not over yet, but it's 4-0 right now. It's an uphill battle for the Yankees. But that line opened up right around that pick'em for a reason today. Those are the type of lines that we stay away from. If it doesn't make sense or looks too good to be true, folks, really good chance that it is. Hey, you're going to win some of those games, but more than likely over the long haul, you're going to lose those. If the line doesn't open up correctly or you scratch your head, stay away from it. Or if you're a contrarian, just fire right away on that game saying, why is that minus 105 for Tampa Bay? I'm taking Tampa Bay. Or just sit and wait, and, you know, a couple minutes before game time, as you see the steam there, going near carry that about 30 cents to the New York Yankees side, didn't make one bit of a difference there, folks. So just a little bit of knowledge that you pick up over the years, especially in baseball season, forget about the steam. Doesn't matter where that damn line is moving. It only matters where that line opened and if it does make sense. The line opens up with a line that you agree with, doesn't move too much during the day, that means it's getting even action, go ahead and fire away on that, because there's no funny business that's put on there. But we always like to say the smartest man in the room is not the sharp or the square, it's the guy who sets the lines. So keep that in mind. It's going to help you down the line be a little bit better gambler. Hopefully it does as well. But getting back today, we did open up. It was a fantastic day to start. The Philadelphia Phillies, one of the worst teams in baseball, gives you win. You'd like to give yourself a little bit of a pat on the back. We risked $100 today to win $75. And again, we are a risk-based gambler. On our five-star premium plays, we risk $550. We might only be picking up $350 to $400 of that. But never bet to win. I don't believe in that during baseball season. So you take the juice out of the equation. Always play to risk. And if you win a game more than you lose, you're probably going to end up with plus money, because I'm not about betting in, you know, minus 280s, minus 290s. You'll see every once in a while we'll dip just above minus 200, maybe like a minus 205 or something like that. But there's not much value anything above that. So we like to keep it below 200. And certainly pound away. As I said today, it was minus 135. Detroit yesterday, which we lost on over the first five, which was just a money line wager, that was also minus 135. We are really taking a chunk out of first five wagering, because I believe you get the best and truest outcome there. Again, as long as nobody gets injured or anything happens there, you're going to get the best out of both pitchers. You can line that up. It's not a matter of who isn't available in the bullpen tonight. You know, we're going to try out this rookie in the bullpen. We're going to bring a random guy in the eighth inning who's going to blow it. Or, you know, your pitcher really labors and throws 95 pitches over six innings and he's out. There's a chance it doesn't matter how many pitches. As long as the guy's not getting blown out, he's going to be in the game. You saw Aaron Harang today threw over 20 pitches in the first inning. Normally, if you're betting a full game, you start to get a little bit worried about that. But only having the first five innings, he's probably not going to throw 100 pitches in the first five. If he does, he's probably getting sliced open for 6 to 7 runs. But you do have a better gauge on that, and we're really drilling those at this point. We've lost way too many games in the past with bullpen losses. Now, there is an exception to that. Case in point, on Sunday when we had a five-star premium play on the Yankees at minus 145 on the money line, we didn't take that game first five, even though Michael Pineda was sensational over the first five, six, and seven innings. Their bullpen is not giving up anything. Dellin Betances is fantastic. The rest of their bullpen shuts it down. So I thought in that game, even if we were down maybe a run or two early, we can always square that game up. Chances are, late in that game, our bullpen's going to shut it down. Didn't even need that. Won the first five if we'd have had it, and certainly closed out to an easy victory. I believe that game ended, I want to say, at 5-2. But it was a great game there. But that's a case in point sometimes where we're going to deviate a little bit from our first five innings to go a full game if we have a shutdown bullpen. Last year, the one team we loved to take full game no matter what was the Kansas City Royals, a sensational lockdown bullpen from 6th, 7th, 8th to 9th. As long as you got a starter, that kept you in business. If that game was 3-3 after both starting pitchers went out, 90% of the time, folks, Kansas City was locking you up, and you're going to take that game. So that was a very good bullpen we loved last year. And again, I'll rail on it every time. The Detroit bullpen last year was the worst thing I've seen in my 38 years on this earth. Absolute gas can city. If you were betting full time last year with Detroit and just taking the full game over the first five, you're just playing with fire. If you had a 4-1 lead when David Price left in the sixth inning, you were done. Just turn the TV off because that game's probably going to end up 10-4 with you losing that. But as I digress, again, I like to bash that Detroit bullpen from last year. They are much, much better this year, but I'm never going to be able to get that taste out of my mouth. But again, hammering those first fives right now is really what it's all about. We're feasting on those. What we're going to do, folks, is take a quick break to pay some bills. Going to be right back on the other side, folks. This is Long Shots Radio Primetime Edition with your host, Donnie Wrightside. Hey, folks, this is Donnie Wrightside, host of Long Shots Radio Primetime Edition on TrendBetting.com. Have you ever wondered how to get access to my information on plays? I am exclusive at TrendBetting.com. Click on the Experts tab. You'll see my picture there. Click on Donnie Wrightside, and you will get full access to my plays. NCAA basketball, NCAA football, award-winning Major League Baseball, and, of course, NFL action. I've been in business for over 20 years. And have found a great home here at TrendBetting.com. Once again, go to the website, TrendBetting.com. Click on the Experts tab. Prices cheap and affordable. We take the 401k approach where less is more. Come get all access to my plays, TrendBetting.com, and we'll see you on the right side. Hey, folks, Donnie Wrightside from Long Shots Radio. Struggling with your picks out there, filling your bankroll up, a little bit of a struggle for you, put the experts at TrendBetting.com to work for you. Go to TrendBetting.com. It's a full-service site. Click on the Experts tabs. Everything is there for what you need to build that bankroll the right way. NCAA basketball and football, National Football League, NBA, NHL, MMA, mixed martial arts. We have every single thing that you need. Once again, folks, go to TrendBetting.com. Click on the Experts tabs. Lucky Lance Williams, CJ the Razor, Alex the AK-47, MMAJ, Travis Terry, Jeff Brandeis, Frank Buzz, and the Saffinator, along with myself, Donnie Wrightside, experts in the industry. Put them to work for you. TrendBetting.com. Click on the Experts tabs. You can get in for as cheap as $249 a month. Specials going on all the time. Once again, folks, TrendBetting.com for all your needs in the business. Trust me, Donnie Wrightside, when I say we're going to put you on the right side at TrendBetting.com. Welcome back to the show, Long Shots Radio Primetime Edition, with your host, Donnie Wrightside. Just going over a couple quick things here on baseball action today. Cardinals were a 2-1 winner over the Cleveland Indians. Great game by Michael Wacha. And I'm not really sure why they pulled him out after five innings. I didn't watch that game there, but he did have good stats. And the Cardinals did end up pulling that game out late. Philadelphia Phillies, as you know, that was our game of the day, 4-2 winner over the Pittsburgh Pirates. The Detroit Tigers clowned the Minnesota Twins 13-1, and that game closed at minus 180. Boy, oh boy, oh boy. Royals and Rangers today, Royals handled them 6-3 as a slight minus 105, and the Cubs pulled out a late victory 6-5 over the Mets on a pass ball. Mets had a 5-1 lead in that game and relinquished that 6-5. They're reeling a little bit. Tough loss last night when the Dark Knight took the mound and dominated and left with a 1-0 lead, only to see that evaporate into a 2-1 loss. Going over the games in live action right now, Tim Lincecum holds a 2-0 lead over the Cincinnati Reds. Reds threatening a bit with a man on second and nobody out in the bottom of the fourth. Tampa Bay Rays, again, one of those surprise games we talked about there and why that line is where it was, 4-0 lead, the Rays over the Yankees in the top of the fourth. And the Blue Jays with a couple solo blasts by Edwin Encarnacion and Joey Bats take a 2-0 lead over the Houston Astros, who are now batting with a man on second and one out in the bottom of the first. Taking a look at some games a little bit later on this evening, you have the Red Sox and the Mariners. Seattle is a slight favorite there. Red Sox traveling up after a win over Sonny Gray and the Oakland Athletics. That's Joe Kelly versus Ronis Elias in the game tonight. No real opinion on that. Again, I have that rated as a coin flip. One game which continues to race up, which is astounding, the Los Angeles Dodgers at 22-11, which I think is the best team in Major League Baseball and obviously the National League. Once they get it rolling, pitch and staff, they get fully healthy, get Puig back. I mean, that lineup is master disaster over there. They're now up to -215 over the reeling Colorado Rockies. Now, I know the manager for the Rockies is in the hospital, but and that's not like having, you know, Phil Jackson missing a game for the Los Angeles Lakers or the Chicago Bulls. I mean, it's Bettis versus Anderson tonight. I mean, two, you know, slobs on the mound. Usually when you see the Los Angeles Dodgers at over -200, it might be a Granky-type game versus a tomato can or just Kershaw versus anybody. But now you're getting down into, you know, your third, fourth, and fifth starter, and they're -215. I mean, I don't understand how you can even bet that game one way or another. I mean, if you think there's value in the Rockies, they suck. But, I mean, you're not exactly facing an ace on the other end. Now, one of the biggest misnomers that you always look at with the Colorado Rockies, you know, it looks really, really easy to take that baseball team. Roll down their lineup and just take a look. Blackman's leading off batting .289. Cargo, who has been atrocious ever since, you know, he's been in and out of the lineup over the last 2 years. He's only hitting .188, but overall in his career, he's a dominant batter and usually bats over .300. Take a look at Tulowitzki, .303. Arenado, .294. Rosario, .308. Dickerson, .317. Hundley, .325. LeMahieu, .327. When you look at that, it's like the 1926 or Murderers Row Yankees with the way those averages are. But that team, I mean, I think they're up to double-digit losses, at least 11 or 12, which is amazing. When you have batters that are batting like that, it's really mind-boggling how your team can be that bad. Looking at the Dodgers lineup, you got superstar Jock leading off at .255. I mean, that's not really indicative of a young player. I think we'll get it going, you know, eventually bat up close to .300, plays a damn good center field. Jimmy Rollins, who, you know, has been there. I'm not really sure why the Dodgers even picked him up. I guess as a veteran presence, but he's at .172. I wouldn't be surprised if Jimmy Rollins bats under .200 the entire year. I don't really know if he's going to heat up. He was the .220 batter basically with the Philadelphia Phillies the last 2 years and doesn't really care about walking. He's all about, I'm going to get mine. Let me get my cuts in. Let me, you know, try to drive the ball with power. So if Jimmy Rollins hit, you know, 20 home runs on the year and hit .125, he probably would be happy with that. But getting back to the Dodgers there, you know, Howie Kendrick, Adrian Gonzalez, Van Slyke, Grandal, Ethier, Uribe, that's a really good team. And then obviously once they get back Yasiel Puig and also Carl Crawford, they're going to be a team that's really going to have not much value, folks, on the way the rest of the year, especially when you're going to have Clayton Kershaw or Zach Greinke on the mound if Ryu ever comes back. I don't really know what his up-to-date injury situation is, but that's a really, really good ball club, and they're only going to get better as long as they stay healthy. The late game tonight, you know, one of my favorite pitchers there, especially last year with Tyson Ross of San Diego. I like what the Padres did in the offseason. They're a little bit nicked up right now. Will Myers, one of my favorite guys in baseball. He's not a superstar by any means, but I know he was a highly, highly rated play with the Kansas City Royals, obviously getting traded to Tampa Bay and now over to San Diego. I like what the kid's got there, but Having said that, they're playing the Washington Nationals tonight, who are without arguably their best player with Anthony Rendon, and they still run out a squad that will battle you. Bryce Harper is as hot as any hitter has been over the last decade, over the past 2 weeks or so. Just every time you look up, looks like the guy's having, you know, 1, 2, 3 homer night games just exclusively. So, I mean, the guy's got it going on. Span, Escobar, Worth, Harper, Zimmerman, Ramos, Desmond and Espinoza. The only funny guy in there to me is Desmond. Guy's atrocious at shortstop. I mean, everything the guy gets hit to him, he just boots it all over the place. It's really tough to bet those type of baseball teams because, I mean, you know they can rake, but at any given time, the guy's an error machine at least. It seems like he's giving up one error per game. And as I know from last year, the one team that you know and saw me online bitching about left and right was the San Francisco Giants. Brandon Crawford at shortstop cost me so much money last year. It's not even his bat, just the stupid plays in the field, the bobbled balls, the missed double plays, the overthrows. Ugh, that cost me a lot of money last year. So just looking at Desmond going through those struggles. Now, Desmond, I mean, that's to the nth degree this year, a lot worse than Brandon Crawford ever was for the San Francisco Giants last year. But just in pure insanity when you're trying to bet those type of baseball teams. If you heard me earlier during the week there, the one team I really like, which cost me money yesterday, was the Minnesota Twins. They got bounced around today, but that's my dark horse in the American League to get that last wild card spot. I think if they get pitching out of those young guys on their squad, the bullpen holds up, which is decent, and also get some timely hitting, that 1-9. I really like the way it is. They play good fundamental baseball. So I will be rooting for those Twins the remainder of the time. I do think there's a lot of value on the Twins because people still look at them as like that second-rate type of team. No real monster superstars. I mean, Joe Mauer doesn't have any power at all. He might as well be Ben Revere of the Phillies at this point, but the guy's going to hit in that third hole and hit 300 and move those batters along. Plouffe's been very good. The power's reemerged there. And a lot of other guys, I believe Arcia is still on, Oswaldo Arcia is still on the DL when he gets back. That's going to add a little bit extra pop on that team also. But again, I love the Minnesota Twins to try to sneak in there and get that last wild card spot. But you know the teams that I really like. The Oakland Athletics was one of my favorite bets last year, but with all those, you know, trades and they're just not hit. They just can't hit the baseball anymore. You got guys like Sonny Gray just going out there throwing 7 innings of one-run baseball and not even having a prayer to win that game. I believe I saw once that game ended, the Oakland A's were like 0 of 12 or 0 of 13 with runners in scoring position. And as I look there watching this game in the background, looks like the Rays finally cashed in. It's 2-1 now, still with two guys on base with one out in the bottom of the fourth. And again, with the Yankees and the Tampa Bay Rays, the Rays have a man on first and third, one out, threatening again, already up 4-0. And the Astros look like they're trying to get back into that game. And that is 2-1 now in the bottom of the first after Valbuena double to center, scored my man Altuve. And a base running error in that Cincinnati game just cost a double play. And that still leaves that at 2-1. San Francisco over Cincinnati. But I mean, hey, as I said again, baseball season has been really, really good to us, and we hope to continue that as we go. If we take a look a little bit tomorrow, as I wanted to take a look with you and go over some future plays tomorrow, as you saw me tweeted out just before the show, I think it's going to be one of the better days of the year gambling. We've really only had three plays a couple times this year, mostly just been one play, maybe even two plays matching up dogs just to get the plus money. But taking a look tomorrow, I think we're going to have a lot of shots to lose there. Billingsley's on the mound for the Phillies. He stinks. They're getting 115 against the Arizona Diamondbacks, bringing in Anderson with a decent ERA and decent whip. Now, as I said, we like to take mismatches on the mound for the right price. It doesn't always have to be superstar pitcher versus bum pitcher, and we're going to take it. The lineups have to match. You got to put on an A-plus lineup for me to bet you. That's most important. And also, there can't be any hiccups. I can't take a guy who's on the mound, let's just say, with an ERA of 3. You know, but he's on the road and at home, he has an ERA of under 1. He's lights out and had maybe 2 or 3 starts at home, but only one start on the road. And that start on the road was his last start, and he pitched 4 1/3 and gave up 7 hits and 5 runs. Not betting that guy. Don't care if his ERA still looks really good because he had 4 out of 5 quality starts, but that one hiccup was on the road and it was recent. We're going to skip over that game, no question about it. As I said, again, it's not all about just taking the better pitcher on the mound with the better whip or the better ERA. The guy has to be pitching well lately, and also pitching under circumstances. Another thing that you're going to want to take a look at is if you can run hitting lineups out there that can combat what the pitcher has. Case in point, if you have a pitcher that is a lefty and a team can run eight righties out there, obviously besides the pitcher, they're going to have a better chance of hitting. If you have a lefty locked lineup against a good lefty pitcher, obviously you're not going to hit the guy as well. So there are some circumstances that you do want to take a look at when betting baseball. Specifically, can they throw eight or nine, you know, American League, you can throw nine bats that are either right-handed or switch hitters at a left-hander. That's certainly going to help you out over the long term, because just fundamentals, it's easier for a right-hander to hit a lefty typically than a, you know, righty on a righty or a lefty hitting a lefty at that point. That's just elementary baseball, case in point there. Also, looking tomorrow again, Milwaukee and the New York Mets. You got Bartolo Colon, has been fantastic. ERA a little bit up there at 3.3 after the Phillies got to him slightly last time, but facing Kyle Loesch, a journeyman on the road. So these are just really preliminary type stuff that we're looking at. Depending on the game tonight and the starting lineups, the Giants and the Reds are going to go at it again tomorrow. Madison Bumgarner, one of my favorite pitchers in baseball, going against another clown trash can journeyman in Jason Marquis. So we'll have to see how that plays out. One of those pitching matchups that baffles you a little bit there is Teherán for the Atlanta Braves tomorrow going at Miami versus Phelps on the case. And looking at that game itself, when you just take a look at Phelps with a 1.80 ERA, you say, oh boy, he's, you know, that's really, you know, locked in or whatever it is there. But, I mean, Phelps isn't a really, really good pitcher. Teherán is a veteran guy, even though he has an ERA close to 5. You never know in that circumstance when that veteran could just really just rear back and throw a good game. Now, tomorrow, I didn't even see this one. Colorado's playing the Dodgers tomorrow, and the opening line for the LA Dodgers is -295 for Clayton Kershaw tomorrow. Now, this isn't your Clayton Kershaw of last year where he's running strings together, where he's barely even giving up a hit, let alone a run. This is Clayton Kershaw at a 4.26 ERA and a whip of 1.2. So theoretically, tomorrow, the guy he's facing has a better ERA, but yet he is close to -300 tomorrow. That's going to be something to keep an eye on, because not even a run line is going to get you anywhere where you should. Let's just say that that game ends at -300. That -1.5 run line for the Dodgers is probably going to be in the high 100s, -180, -175, which is ludicrous at that point. But, I mean, it's very, very rare that you even see a baseball line approaching -250, then again approaching -300. Taking a look at another game tomorrow, Jordan Zimmermann looking for a bounce back at a 4.21 ERA versus Aradamer Despaigne for the San Diego Padres. And two teams, I don't really know how much we're going to look into that, because Despaigne hasn't been very good. Zimmerman's been shaky as he's going along as well. You got Weaver and Chen tomorrow with the Angels and the Baltimore Orioles. Looks like Chen is probably going to be the better pitcher there, even though Weaver had a nice start last time out, but his ERA is fluctuating right around a 5 at this point. You then have Cleveland and Texas with Chen, another Chen, and Wandy Rodriguez there for the Texas Rangers. Toronto and Houston with Dickey versus Keuchel. You know me. It's no secret. You got a man crush on Dallas Keuchel, and for good reason. Guy's 6-1 team record overall this year, 4-0 in his starts alone, 1.39 ERA and a whip under 1. You know I love the whip under 1. Another guy, Chris Young. Yes, left for dead Chris Young versus Michael Pineda and the New York Yankees when the Kansas City Royals square off with them. He's got a 0 ERA and a whip of 0.5. This guy is basically allowing a half of a base runner in inning. But Michael Pineda did do us very well with our 5-star premium play on Sunday when we did dip in and take those pesky New York Yankees over the Ravens. That was a good victory for us there. It was a little bit pricey, you know, -147, risking $550. So it paid close to $400 at that point. So I did think it was worth it. And we did fire on that game. And obviously it was well worth it, because we walked away with another 5-star premium play winner, getting into a really good pitching matchup. Odorizzi and the Tampa Bay Rays traveled to Minnesota to go over light the Phil Hughes And the reason why I joke around with that, when he was with the New York Yankees, he was almost an auto play to fade for me. Every time I saw him come up for the Yankees, I mean, the guy was just like liftoff at Yankee Stadium. And it looks like he's back to his dubious ways at a ERA over 5 and a whip approaching 1.5. Odorizzi's been solid all year long. The ERA of close to 2 with a whip under 1. He's definitely going to get a look for us tomorrow. But as I said again, in those games, you know, in past years, you might have fired on the overnight line or what you got, what you liked. Always sit it out, folks. These lines are coming out, you know, overnight. Sit, take a look, cap those games. But I can't stress it enough to wait for those starting lineups. Case in point today with the Philadelphia Phillies and also the Pittsburgh Pirates. Pirates sat McCutchen on a weak lineup. I mean, that was just extra amped up. If you liked Vance Worley coming in, you fired it away. You looked at the lineup, you said, ah, damn it, McCutchen's not in the lineup tonight. Yeah, he got what you paid for because they got hammered and couldn't hit the ball worth a damn today. So always wait a little bit longer there. Wait for that lineup to come out. Even if the lineup comes out really strong for you and not so strong for the other team, I mean, hey, fantastic, great. Maybe you have to pay instead of 140, 151, but it's worth paying that extra juice there to wait and get the proper lineups because it may work to your advantage or it may work where your manager says, hey, I'm going to give my two best hitters the day off. And if you're on the opposite side, it's not a fun feeling. Trust me on that one. Closing out some of the games tomorrow, you got the young cat Rodon on the mound for the Chicago White Sox, and the Oakland Athletics run out Han on the mound. Han was one of my favorite pitchers going back last year with the San Diego Padres. Kid had a great first 5 or 6 starts out there, and we did capitalize. And again, the San Diego Padres were one of those under-the-radar teams, similar to the Houston Astros last year. Not very good teams, but always had the value because they had a really, really good bullpen and fantastic starting pitching. They didn't hit that well, but if you got scraped across a couple runs, as you know me, liking to take those first 5-inning games, getting plus a half a run, keeping it under juice of minus 150. I'm going to take that a lot of time. Jay Happ on the mound tomorrow at Seattle versus Clay Buchholz. That game was a night game, so Major League Baseball is probably not going to let Clay grease up the hair and really get after it tomorrow. So look for Jay Happ to keep the Boston bats down. That's going to be a game I'm definitely going to want to take a look at because, again, Clay Buchholz has been a relative gas can this year with an ERA of close to 6. And closing out the day tomorrow, the Detroit Tigers and the St. Louis Cardinals with Green and Martinez. Just a brief look at tomorrow. There's a lot of shots we're going to want to take a look at, so I am going to heavily cap these games tonight and then wait on starting lineups for tomorrow. If you're on Twitter, folks, or if you're I follow Major League Baseball starting lineups, but if you're online and you just want to take a look, one of the best websites I like is MLBStarting9.com. The minute the lineups come out, they're listed side by side. You can take a look at those right away. So use the information as it is available. Gambling now with all the technology, it's only designed to help you out. You definitely want to take advantage of that and make sure that you're going all in and using everything to your advantage, whether it be, you know, a guy that you really follow and a guy that gives that good information or just getting your own information, whether it be through, you know, StatFox, Sports Insight, Sports Options, MLB Daily Starting 9, ESPN, CBS. I can't stress it enough. Get more. The more information that you get, the more prepared you are for the game later on that night. So it's definitely something that you're going to want to watch. A lot of good basketball games on tonight. I'm not a big NBA fan. I don't bet the NBA at all. But in the playoffs, I do tend to tune in a little bit more. And I do want to catch this Bulls-Cavs game. Haven't gotten any scoring updates yet, so I'm going to, as soon as we jump off the show tonight, get right on that game. But I do have a little bit of an interest tonight in that Houston Rockets and L.A. Clippers game going on at the Staples Center tonight. So certainly be a late night. I'll be keeping an eye on the baseball games tonight, but also, more importantly, starting that early cap out for the games tomorrow. Taking a look, one final look at the scores tonight, the Giants and the Reds, again, 2-1 heading into the bottom of the fifth. Rays jumped out now 5-0 over the New York Yankees, and the Blue Jays still at 2-1. So keep in mind, folks, we are going to have another show on Monday. That's probably going to be right around lunchtime. I would like to fire that show up sometime around noon, I think will work best for us in that instance. Again, folks, taking the last minute here, trendbetting.com. That's the team I am with. Me and Lucky Lance Williams met a few years ago. He came up with this concept there. He already had trend betting underway, had asked me to come aboard with him. I certainly wanted to do that. We talk just about every day. One of the nicest guys in this business that you're going to meet, and he put out a fantastic website. I mean, you know I have my own website at rightsidevalueplays.com, but I do trust Lucky Lance Williams and the crew at trendbetting.com. I'm also there exclusively. Everything that you get either website there is the same play, the same exact thing every day. Everything is monitored. If I give you a play, you know it's up on the monitor there. I do use the monitor for a lot of things for tracking purposes, but the one thing, we're not going to snowboat you there, man. When you come to trendbetting.com, we're going to give you exactly what you want. Doesn't matter what sport it is, college basketball, college football, NFL, baseball, MMA, soccer, golf, whatever you're into, TeamTrendBetting.com has everything available for you. If you have not been to the website, go to TrendBetting.com, click on the experts tab. The most handsome guy on that entire roster is myself, and the package that I'm going to give you on the right side is clearly the best one on there. I know I like to take a couple shots at my boys on the website, but everybody there, we're here for a reason. We do it the right way. When we win, we tell you about it. When we lose, we tell you about it. But folks, you can't get enough. Trendbetting.com is the place to be. It's been a fantastic show. Thanks for tuning in for the full 45 minutes. We'll be back at it on Monday. Have a great weekend, everybody. Once again, Long Shots Radio. See you later.